Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that's manifest in a physical world. That's what the world is the manifestation of a spiritual universe. It is the spirit that moveth upon the waters and creates the universe. It actually does it through, to some degree, in what people call the string theory, with this pulling of two distinct universes, create something in between that we call this physical reality. But it is spiritual in both cases that cause the reality that we see. And now I've written several books. One was The Covenants of the Gods, and that shows people the reality of the fact that they are in bondage. Of course, you're in bondage to some degree simply because you're existing and living in a physical world. You're bound by the laws of that world, gravity, heat, cold. All these things bring with them physical repercussions, and you are subject to those repercussions. Jump off a building, you're going to hit the sidewalk or the street or somewhere down there below the building. Gravity is going to take over and exercise dominion over you and take you to the bottom of wherever you're headed. And that's really what's happened in creating this bondage in the world. And we see it magnifying. The same spirit that created this original bondage in the world, that made everybody in the world a surety for debt, it's turned you into merchandise. And now people are waking up to it. They feel the sting of that burden, and they say, oh, I'm not going to take it anymore. Well, you are going to take it because you've been dishing it out. The reason that you are on the menu, the reason that you are in bondage, is because you put your neighbor on the menu. You coveted your neighbor's goods. You desired that somebody take away from your neighbor so that you could have free education, free health care, whatever. Protection. Protection draws subjection. And you've looked to these fathers of the earth, these benefactors who exercise authority, and you have gone into bondage. Now, people got all kinds of solutions on how, you can sign up for this $1,500 packet or this $3,000 packet. I've seen packets going for $10,000, going to set you free, going to get you a lodeal title for your land back, and all this. Not going to happen. And we actually did some investigation of some of these guys early on years ago. We don't waste much time with it now, and exposed them as liars. Oh, man, talk about something hitting the fan. And it wasn't that hard. You know, we just called up the county where they said that they weren't paying taxes anymore and they had a lodeal title and they had got the land patents and they haven't paid property tax in years and years and years and all this stuff so that they could sell these packets, which I know that some of them went for as much as $10,000, some went for $6,000. They're basically the same thing. They eventually reduced the price down because they needed and they've done this under several names. And I've seen them going for $300 and $600 and $1,500, and it's all the same gobbledygook. But people want to believe it, and so that, you know, a sucker is born every minute or whatever it is, and they take advantage of people. But we just call up the county seat, and no, they haven't paid property tax, but their mom came in and paid it, or their dad came in and paid it, and they just lied, and they took your money. And when we exposed this, nobody did anything about it. I mean, we didn't call the police. I mean, when people were finally shown that this was all a lie, they just tried to cover it up because they felt so embarrassed about it. And of course, that spirit is why people are in bondage. They only care about themselves. They don't care about anybody else. So we went through that little process for a while. We don't do that much anymore. And the people who want to believe that, they want to believe that. We're looking for the people who want to believe the truth. who want to follow the ways of freedom. And they're all there. They're right there. They've been told us from ancient times over and over again. And we read it and we miss it. We don't see it. Because we don't have a heart to see it. You can't be free unless you want to set others free. You can't be forgiven unless you forgive others. So why should you be free unless you want to set others free? Same principle. Everything is just in reverse. Because it's about repentance. It's about going the other way. Health. You know, can you imagine the health consequences that are going to befall the people that are producing GMOs? What kind of health those people are going to have? They're out there poisoning the environment. There will be millions of people who die, actually starve to death, not even counting the people that are already being made sick, because of genetically modified organisms. It's going to be a holocaust, a plague that sweeps the nation. And, you know, I can see it. I can prove it logically. I know a little bit about science. I know a little bit about how things grow. I mean, I was winning awards in science competing against college students when I was 12 years old. I can tell you that. I could spend my life, you know, researching it and proving that this is. But I don't need to because I can just see it. You know, I told in an earlier show that's in this same preparing you. That was the that's the subject of today's broadcast on this station, is how to prepare you. And we have an actual website, Preparing You, Y-O-U, preparingyou.com. And it's anybody who is in our network can become an editor on it. Somebody who's just editing stuff on solar equipment. I just saw the email coming in. They just finished fixing a page that I started. And, you know, they're elaborating on it. They're changing schematics and stuff like that. And it has a lot of stuff on that website. It could have a lot more. But what the real value of the website is, it gives people an opportunity to do something for somebody else they don't even know. Because that sends a ripple of energy through the universe. It actually, that spirit will overturn dictatorships. It can literally stop whole armies. I mean, you know, it's not as dramatic as you see in the movies, and, you know, where somebody, you know, has the power to stop bullets flying through the air, etc. But it really does. It is the force that drives creation, is to care about somebody else's life, to give up your power of choice so that others may have the freedom to choose. That is the creative energy of the universe. That's the spirit that it moves by. There are other spirits out there, they take a bite out of one another. I have an article, Biting One Another. And of course, that's a quote from the Bible, where it says, be careful that you do not bite one another. And of course, that's the whole system throughout all the world, and almost every single country, is based on the idea that you get benefits because you bit your neighbor. You took something of your neighbor so that you can have benefits, so that you can be secure, so that you can be healthy, so that you can be safe. And absolute contrary will take place. You have put in motion a spirit of biting one another, and you yourself will be devoured. You have put yourself on the menu. Because as you judge, so shall ye be judged. You notice how I can just slip in these little quotes from the Bible, left and right, but I put them in a different context than most people are thinking. If it's okay for you to take away from your neighbor so that you can have free education for your kids, then it's okay that your neighbor take away from you, you know, so that he can have what he wants. You've set the law in place. As long as you set the law in place, the courts in heaven, the courts in this jurisdiction that can protect you, that gives life, can't operate in your life. Because you've set the rules. And this another thing I touched on in the previous show is that there are courts in heaven, just like there are courts on earth. And those courts in heaven, what we call heaven, this other realm, the spiritual realm from which creation came. You see, and there's a spiritual realm from which the spirit of biting one another comes too. That's the other realm. Some people call one heaven, some call it hell. You can call it anything you want. You can call it the Gonzornenplatte. I don't care what you call it. That's just the words coming out of your mouth. But there are these other realms of righteousness and unrighteousness. Now, even in the realm of unrighteousness, there are things that, like courage, loyalty, perseverance. All those things exist in that realm too. Those things exist in hell. It's not the total reverse of everything, but yeah, in the very essence of how it functions, yes, it is the total reverse. And so that's what you want to get down to, is this essence of creation. If you want dominion, you're not going to get it with paper. You're not going to get it with some sort of physical ritual where I come out and I am separate and I am this. No, you have to actually change and plug into a different source of energy. And then as soon as you receive that energy, you must give it away. Current, electricity, energy, that's what it is. It's a current. It's a flow. Freely receive, freely give. You have to. If you don't give, then there's no current. There's no current, there's no power, there's no energy. It has to flow through you. You have to receive and give. This is why the guys with the denarii, or talents, 5 and 3 and 1 talent, the guy who did nothing with what he received nothing more, and had what he had taken away from him. These are principles of the universe. This is how you become free, is to follow that path that's laid out before you by the prophets. Now, a lot of people hold up the Bible and all this stuff, but they don't know what's in it. They don't know how it works. That is the way it is. They are blind. They say they see, but they are actually blind. And they do not see. Though they study, they read. But, the good news is that you don't need to study and read. Now, maybe you do, because that's what God tells you to do. This, maybe the messages coming from that spiritual realm we call heaven, coming to you, the guidance, the light that guides you in that spiritual realm, is telling you to study. Look at this, look at that. Read this, read that. And you, it's your choice as to whether to do it, but you should do it if that's who's telling you to read, to study. If I tell you, well, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't. But if that spiritual realm of righteousness tells you, then you should do it. And a lot of times, the interesting thing is, a lot of times it tells you to do things that are rather insignificant, that are not really all that. You seem like, well, like what? How will that make a difference? And the reality is that could make a huge difference, because you're now following a path that everybody else is ignorant of or blind to. And that's absolutely important. That you learn to follow that path. You learn to follow that way. That alternate idea of giving your life to others, rather than hoarding your life, gathering it up, maintaining it just for yourself. You don't want that. that will kill you. That will stagnate your heart. It will constipate your body. It will, you will become a cesspool of iniquity if you do that. You must give of your life. It's absolutely essential that you give of your life if you want life more abundant. That's just built into the law. It's like gravity. And see, that's what happens, is that you make this choice to go this other way. This way of laying down your life, of sacrificing your life. And you make it somewhere in your head. No, it won't. It's no good to make it in your head. You know, you can try, but it's not really the choice. You don't really make the choice. You make it in your spirit, in your soul. Now, you live in your head. A lot of people live in their head a lot. Some live in their head a little bit, but everybody lives in their head somewhat. They live in their own imagination. So even if you only imagine that you should do these things, what that really means is that you're deciding to do righteousness. That's what we're supposed to be seeking, is righteousness, for some good reasons. And you're deciding to do righteousness for some bad reasons, not so good reasons. I mean, that's what bad is. Bad is not really good. Just like darkness is not really light. There's light, and then there's the absence of light. And that's going to produce what we call bad, evil, because it's not righteousness. It's not the good. And that's where we all go, is we go that way that is not righteous, and then we have to turn around and go back. And to go back, you have to go back this other way. So we're in bondage today. The whole world is in bondage today. And why? Why is this spiritual realm, this alternative reality that accepts the idea of biting one another, ruling over one another, exercising control and authority one over the other, that's the spirit that you're going to see there. Why is that so interesting in getting us to do the same thing? Well, you know, pick some shady bar and go in there and order milk. Say, I'd like to have a glass of cold milk. Say it really loud so everybody can hear you. Somebody will buy you a drink. They do not want you drinking milk when they're drinking booze. They want you drinking what they're drinking. Name your poison. That it bothers them, you know. You know, why am I judged of another? But the reason is because that's one of the spirits that lives in that evil realm. They're always judging one another, controlling one another, ruling over one another, dominating one another. That's the spirit that dwells there. In the kingdom of heaven, the spirit that dwells there wants to give life to one another, wants to give space to one another, wants to provide for one another, help one another, mature, nurture one another. It's just the nature that dwells there. So that's the creative force universe that is moving to create the reality that we were in, even our own reality. That's how our reality came about, us as an individual. Now, man was made in the image of God, so he has some of the same creative power that God has, because God gave it to you. It's not because you're God, but God allowed you to have some of that creative power. What you think is what you feed the world, and what you are what you eat, and the world is what it eats, and you feed the world, and you create the world around you. You've created the tyranny that's around you. You've created the abomination. You created the GMOs. that are poisoning society. You created the wars. You're somehow or other, you contributed to that. Now, obviously, some of you more than others. But you are actually contributing to that. Because, you know, for evil to prevail, all that is required is that good men do nothing. So if you're slothful in 1 second, 1 moment of your life, slothful, just like, I don't have time for that right now. I got to go do this for me. You're contributing to the universe and the iniquity of the universe. You're setting it in motion because you're not setting righteousness in motion. I mean, when a candle goes out, it literally creates darkness. Literally creates, but darkness doesn't exist. Darkness is just the absence of light. But the candle went out, and so there's darkness. So when you don't light your candle and put it on a lampstand, another metaphor that Christ is throwing out there in his parable, then you are creating darkness because you didn't create light. You were given some, everybody's given some power, some energy, some love that comes to you by way, otherwise you wouldn't exist at all. And so how are you using that life that you've been given? Are you creating more life? Homosexuality. Homosexuality is not about creating more life. Now, some of them want to go out and adopt, but basically, that's not how you do it. You create life by giving life. Now, I will admit that most heterosexuals end up creating life as a byproduct of self-indulgence. It was not their goal, necessarily, in many cases, to create life, to give life. But yet, still, when it starts taking place, you know, things turn on in a woman, and when a husband sees his child, and, you know, all of a sudden he is motivated to continue and to build that life. But evil will come along and say, hey, don't worry about that. We'll take care of that. We'll educate him. We'll give him health care. We'll give him this. You know, we'll take money from your neighbor to make sure that we have the money to provide for your child. But that's how your child becomes a child of the state. But the origin is not in the contract. The contract is evidence of the origin of the spirit that led to this. When the Israelites picked a king, they said, we want to have a king over us. And, you know, Samuel comes out and he says, okay, now, I want you to understand now. You guys want a king. He's going to take and take and take and take and take and take and take. I think I got them all in there. There might have been a couple more takes in there. He's going to take your sons and daughters. He's going to take the first fruits of your field. He's going to do this. And you're going to cry out someday. And the people said, yeah, but give us a king anyway. You know, give us a king, president, prime minister, same thing. Someone who can exercise authority, fix things, make it right. And what was God's explanation to Samuel about this? It was because they had already rejected him. They have already rejected me. They haven't rejected you, Samuel, because they're still going to you to get you to appoint this king, president, prime minister, whatever. But they have rejected me. And that's why they want this. So now we come on another election. We hear all the debates and everything. And people want this guy. They want that guy or this gal or that guy. Whatever. But they want all these things because they've rejected God. Now, am I telling you not to vote, not to be involved in that? You do what you think is right. But I'm telling you, there is no solution. Doesn't mean you shouldn't go and study whatever it is that you want to study and go out there and vote. That's an individual momentary call within your life. I'm not ruling over your life. But what I'm saying is, according to the laws of the universe, it will make no difference who gets elected to the President of the United States or the Prime Minister of Canada or anything. That will make no difference. That's just events that take place on this planet. And it may prolong something, it may, you know, something else will change, but ultimately your fate is sealed by the spirit you live by. And people all over the world, billions of people, 7 billion people, they're sealing the fate of this planet. Tremendous upheavals and destruction is going to come because people, because of their wantonness, because of their selfishness, because of their neglect of righteousness. I mean, that's what Jesus called the Pharisees, because you haven't attended to the weightier matters. You've neglected. You're not bearing fruit. I'm going to take the kingdom away from you. He's going to give it to another group. Now, here's one of the mysteries. So how many people do we need to repent and turn around to change the course of history? Well, actually, you only need one to start that change. 10 would be better. It would create more change. 100 would be way better. But they have to really change. But how do you change? You can't even change yourself. You have to be changed. How do you? So somewhere deep down in your heart, you make a choice to go the ways of God or not. In your head, you will say, you know, it looks like this, it looks like that, this is why I'm doing it, and this is the explanation and everything. But really, the choice is made somewhere deep down in your soul. And when you make that choice, you start energy to flow in a particular direction and from a particular source. And that creative force that created the universe begins to change you. You don't even see it. You don't even feel it. You will see the results of it, but you don't. This isn't like a surge of energy. It just begins to alter what you see, what you think, how you perceive the world begins to change. And we'll talk more about this and some of the other things that you can look at to see, to kind of mark the distance that you're changing. There was a guy who used to work out at a government project, and I knew one of the supervisors out there. And he says that he was telling me about this one individual who worked so slow. And he said you had to pound a stake in the ground to see if he was doing anything, if he was moving, because he moved so slow. You had to monitor him all the time because he just didn't get stuff done. But this old timer, he knew. He says you had to pound a stake in the ground just to see if he was doing anything. Well, we're gonna look at some of those markers to see if you're doing anything, if you're getting closer to that which will set you free when we return to Keys of the Kingdom after this break. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back. This creative power, this creative force that can actually flow through you can give you insight into the future, in the present. I mean, you literally can see through walls. You want to see through walls? You want to be superhuman? It's actually not superhuman. It's just natural. But you've been so subnatural, so such a fallen natured individual, you can't see this. We hear all kinds of people that have certain intuitive knowledge. They they do see the future. They do seem to have these psychic abilities, paranormal abilities to see things around them that other people don't see. And it's a great place for charlatans to con people out of money, because you don't have to actually see things. You just have to make other people believe that you see things. So how do you know that what people say they are seeing, you know, about the future or about the present is true? Well, how do you know the news is telling you the truth? They can manufacture stuff. They can manufacture events. They can manufacture witnesses. I mean, when you're dealing with billions and billions of dollars, people can do almost anything. So how do you know what's true and what's not true? I mean, if the truth is going to set you free, you want to know how to tell if you're seeing the truth. And I mentioned John Paul Jackson, and I don't really know the guy. I just kind of come across him a little bit, and he's passed away now, so you don't want to say ill of the dead. And I really don't have anything bad to say about him. He may be very accurate and have some prophetic abilities. But he clearly doesn't see everything, and he never claimed to be. But he could see all these disasters coming in the future. You know, and I saw them way back when I was a kid. You know, I saw in certain places, I would see the same place that I was standing in just absolutely devastated and destroyed and flooded and, you know, landslides and everything that were already there, and just, you know, bullet holes in buildings, just different places, you know, all over the country. And I would see these things, and it was just like out of the blue, all of a sudden I would see them, and I didn't even know what they were. I was just a little kid. I thought everybody else saw them. And I didn't know what they meant until I started seeing things that took place a few minutes later, or an hour later, or a day later, or a couple months later. And then I started realizing and learning to tell the difference. And those are the things that I call visions. Now, other people call things visions. I don't call them visions. I call them daydreams. And of course, when you're dealing in the spiritual realm, you can get visions from all sorts of different sources. How do you know who's on the line? Who's giving you your vision? And this, we went through this in the last show about Macbeth. Macbeth had these witches come and tell him, oh, you're going to be king. And nobody can kill you, born of woman. And you will have your kingdom until the forest of such and such moves to such and such. And, of course, all those things took place. And finally he was killed by a man who was not born of woman, but from his mother's untimely, was ripped untimely from his mother's womb because she died, and they cut her open when she died to try to save the baby. And they did, and they saved him. So he wasn't born of a woman. He was born of a corpse. And so there the guy was in front of Macbeth to kill him. All the prophecies came through and came true. But they destroyed Macbeth. They killed Macbeth. They not only destroyed Macbeth, they destroyed his soul. So if you're going to get prophecies and people going to tell you about the future, and, you know, beware of people telling you about the future, telling you what's going to happen, especially to you specifically. Why did God tell them and not you? Why didn't he just tell you what was going to happen? And so you have to be very discerning, because they could be telling you stuff to lead you off on a wild goose chase. They could be doing it just to bilk you out of a bunch of money. You know, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. All I need is your credit card number. You know, that's real. People do that. You know, I mean, how many guys like, you know, Lindsay Williams out there selling DVDs? That was one thing about John Paul Jackson, is that he was... all of his predictions were on the internet. You could go, I suppose, and get DVDs. I haven't seen where they're for sale or anything. He did sell some books, and he probably made a lot of money selling those books. I think he had some money beforehand, but I don't really know him. I haven't done any research on him. I just thought it was interesting. He was saying he saw some things that I've seen and known about for years. And I know that some of the things he said were going to take place, but you know, you could get that from a lot of different sources, so I don't know where he's getting it from. I kind of liked the guy from what I saw of him, but I never met him. People ask me, should I buy this land? Should I buy this or that land? I says, go on the land, stand there, pick up some of the dirt, hold it in your hand and ask God. I don't know whether you should buy this or that or whatever. I know you shouldn't be afraid. I know that you need to care about others as much as you care about yourself. I know that if you want to create a refuge for yourself, the best thing to do is to create a refuge for others. If you're thinking about yourself, you've created a stagnant pool. You actually send out the smell of hell trying to save yourself, because that's what they do. They're in it for themselves. Christ didn't come here to save himself. He came here to save others. So if you're trying to figure out how to save yourself, you're giving off the stench of hell, and those entities of hell will be drawn towards you. And they may be the neighbors down the street, or, you know, marauding bands out of the cities. But if you have the Spirit of God in you, they will actually try to stay away. I went to a place, a speaking engagement, and I've done this so many times. I just happened to think of one particular incident. I just thought of another, and I could go down a big long list, but just being in the room, certain kind of people, predators, who you take energy from people. They have a predator spirit in them. They couldn't even, they had to go away. They had to get way to the back of the room, or they had to, you know, walk around a hallway so that they wouldn't be in sight. They were literally repelled, you know. And, you know, I could tell you cases where that just time and time again. I didn't understand always what was going on, because I'm not doing it. But there are spirits with me. I know people who say they see angels. And I know some people who say they see angels and they're liars. But even the devil can appear as an angel of light. But do they actually see angels with their physical eye? No, not necessarily. They project the image of the angel based on what is written in their hearts. We create this. It's, you know, we talked about it with schizophrenics. You know, I wrote recently on a page on the Preparing You site, which is not our only site. We have lots of sites. But you know, I said, just because you hear voices doesn't mean you're crazy. It just means you hear voices. Now, a lot of the people who hear voices, they may get driven crazy, but a lot of that has to do with the rejection they feel in themselves and from other people. And there usually is a reason something's out of kilter if you're hearing voices, because that isn't the way that God necessarily communicates with you. But it doesn't mean you're crazy. It just means that there's a part of you generating that voice, and or allowing that voice to be generated in you by your own subconscious mind. And, you know, if you want healing, you know, we can, you know how you get healed? You have to go in to your own personal hell. You have to go into your holy temple, and you have to walk into every single room in there and bring that candle, that light, into the room. And you have to see what you put in there when you were 5 years old, when you were 10 years old, when you were 20 years old. All the wickedness, all the lies, all the fear, all the anxiety, all the abuse done to you and done by you to others. You have to see it. You have to bring light to it. But you also have to bring love to it, because that's the light you want to bring, is the light of love. Now, what is that love, and how do you do that? See, even using a word, you won't know what I'm talking about. unless you've actually felt it. And I think everybody out there who breathes and is alive has felt it. Do they want more or do they want less? Because more light's going to bring more exposure to the wickedness that has gotten in you, to the hurt, to the pain. And so this is what we're looking for, is ministers who will feel their pain, will walk into individuals, into their hell with them, take them by the hand and walk into it and show them what they haven't been willing to see in themselves. And I mean, and it's amazing. And one of the first things that happens is the demons that are lurking about in there, they either leave or run and hide somewhere else. I mean, literally, you can actually see physical manifestations of this. I'm flashing on all kinds of the events over the years. And we can show you how to do this, but only if God wants to teach you, and God will only want to teach you if you want to learn. God's not going to make you learn. And the fact is time is always growing shorter. You can't waste time. That's like wasting, that's like burying your denarii or your talent. You have to use it. You have to make use of what God has given you. And then he will give you more. And I'll tell you this, with what's coming, you're going to need a lot more. You want to understand the legal system? We can show you the legal system. We can show you how it works. We show you how Christ was a legal genius, because God understands law better than anybody. And he was for Moses, he was for Abraham, and he's there now for you. But you need to free up the courts in heaven so the bailiffs of God can come and protect you. They will not come if you still have things on the count. You know, Jesus died so that you might be saved. You can't get forgiven just because Jesus died. And Jesus was clear about this. You can only get forgiven if you forgive. So who haven't you forgiven? If this is why it is so important that you put in motion in your life charitable activities, charitable energy flowing. Because you don't have to just be charitable to your children and charitable to your wife, and many people are not. But you have to be charitable to the strangers in your midst, and you have to even be charitable to your enemies. You want to bring down the evil of the system. You don't want to bring down the system. The system is actually there in place for a particular reason, because you've been slothful, and it's here to punish the wicked. It actually has a mission. You don't want to bring down the system. You want to bring down and expose the evil. You actually don't even want to bring it down. You just want to expose it for what it is. Shine light on it. And the evil will be driven out. You know, you ever notice how these guys who go around and kill a bunch of people at schools and other gun-free zones, as soon as they're caught, they put a gun in their mouth or under their chin and shoot themselves in the head. And they're not even caught yet. They're just, you know, they run, somebody else has a gun, and they run and they shoot themselves. Now, that's not just a coincidence. That's part of that destructive spirit that is possessing that individual to do these things. Now, I'm not saying that person is not at fault somewhere, but he is not alone in what he's doing. He has been influenced. And drugs open the doorway to this. And, you know, the devil doesn't care whether it's a legal drug prescribed by a doctor or something you got off the street. In his court, you drug yourself. You hide from the truth. He's going to come in. He loves it when you want to live in the dark. And that's why people take drugs. That's why you smoke. That's why you chew tobacco. That's why you drink alcohol. because you have an affinity towards the darkness. You want to numb your senses. People want to do this, they say, because it helps me cope. No, it helps you not cope. It puts up walls so you don't have to deal with things. You're bringing darkness. You're putting your light under a chemical bushel basket so that you don't have to look at what your light is showing you. So you drink, so that you smoke, so that you chew tobacco, or, you know, I can't think of all the other habits. I don't have a good list of them, but I'm sure you guys get the, you know, methamphetamines or prescribed medication. You know, depression medicine. Those are still amphetamines. You know, they're still chemically hiding from the reality that has gotten in you. And that's why I was pointing out that, you know, if I asked you, can schizophrenia be cured? Well, there are thousands and thousands of people that had schizophrenia, and they don't have it anymore. You test them, they show no sign of schizophrenia. And there's a fairly accurate test for that. And why is it gone? Well, one thing they have in common is they got off the drugs. Now, am I telling you to get off the drugs? No, I'm telling you to find out. There's whole outfits out there that will help you deal with schizophrenia and get drug free. And you will need support. I'm not telling you to go into your room all alone and stop taking your medication. I can't give you that kind of advice. I wouldn't want to. It's probably not good advice. But to gather with other people who can help you, who want to help you, and those people are going to be blessed. And, you know, some of those people will get through the days ahead, and they're going to make absolutely no survival preparation whatsoever in the standard way of thinking. They're not going to put up freeze-dried food. They're not going to get a shelter out in the wilderness. They're not going to stock up with guns and ammo. They're going to spend their time helping people become free of their schizophrenia or whatever it is, their drugs, whatever. Because God is leading them to do that. And they don't have to make preparations. Now, God may all of a sudden tell them to make preparations, and they will. But the point is that they're closer to the kingdom of God than you. Kingdom of God will provide for those who seek the ways of the kingdom of God. This is why I'm saying you want to prepare for the disasters that are coming tomorrow. You must change. But you cannot change yourself because you don't know what you are to change into. So we said we would give you some parameters. Well, the Ten Commandments. And of course, now there's not enough time to go through all the Ten Commandments, but most of them are not what you think. Like the Sabbath has to do with debt. Making no covenants, that has to do with all the contracts, covenants, and constitutions that you make all the time. You know, agreements that you make, usually to get benefits at somebody else's expense. And of course, that brings in the ninth and tenth commandment, which is, thou shalt not covet. Somebody was bringing up, he says, a lot of people don't think coveting is what you think it is. Well, coveting is desiring to have what somebody else has already. Now, if my neighbor is driving a really nice four-wheel drive rig, and I say, wow, that's a really nice four-wheel drive rig, you know, I could really use that to feed the sheep with, I would like that rig. Have I coveted? No, what I actually am saying, I would like a rig like that because it's really a neat vehicle. Now, personally, there's so many things I want more than that. I will continue to operate the clunky old thing that I operate with bald tires because I'm getting the job done with that. I'm not going to take what limited resources I have and buy a fancy truck. I don't care about the upholstery. That's not important. That doesn't get the sheep fed. But I can say, oh, yeah, I'd like, if somebody said, yeah, I'll give you that. You know what I'd probably do? I'd probably sell it. Buy an older truck that's more reliable, less subject to electromagnetic pulses, and take the extra money and use it to help somebody else. in some other way. But mostly what I have to do is talk to you and tell you. But we can bring on some people to start training on a local basis. We have been doing that, and we will do that. But the way you apply for that, there's no, we don't have, you know, $1,000, $10,000 tuition or packet or anything like that. We want to see you operating with the Spirit of Christ where you come to serve. And the way we do that is we get everybody to try to join the Living Network. But we would like them to leave a little bit more of their baggage behind. They won't. But that gives us tremendous training opportunities and opportunities to bless and forgive people because they bring all their baggage in and they're banging everybody else in the aisles with their baggage because they won't set it down. And they're actually causing discomfort and anxiety from other people because they've brought all this baggage in. But learning to set down baggage, learning to teach people to set down their baggage and to be freed from their baggage starts in motion that spiritual power that will free you from the bondage of the world. You cannot be freed from the bondage of the world by legal schemes, but by being tried in the courts of heaven and found, you will be found guilty, but found to be worthy of forgiveness. Well, you're not even worthy of forgiveness, but you just simply can't be forgiven unless you forgive others. So that starts winning when you start doing that, forgiving and giving and not being slothful, but being diligent. It starts winning the court battles in heaven. And then the powers of heaven will come to your aid and they will guide you and they will show you and you will see things, you know, will see visions and dream dreams. And if you're plugged into that righteousness, and it'll take more than the rest of this show to show you, you will have your guidepost and you will know where you're going and how to get there. But until then, may peace be upon your house. And may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.